My only regret about serving this church as pastor is that we just don't worship with much enthusiasm. I just don't understand that. Praise God. Wow. So cool. So we're in the midst of a summer series. Actually, we're drawing toward the end of a summer series. I can't believe summer has just flown by. It's too fast. And we've been focusing on a topic called Dusty Sandals, Walking in the Dust of Rabbi Jesus. And we've been touching on little words or phrases that Jesus used frequently in his teaching with his disciples and with those who would gather to hear him teach. And we know that because for the most part his audience was largely Jewish, that audience in his day most of the time got what he was saying, or at least understood the nuances of those words, of those phrases. And you and I have the distinct disadvantage that when we, in our Western world and our Western ears and Western brains and Western mindset, we read those passages in the Gospels and we hear him say stuff and we go, that's cute, that's nice, that's cool, which is translated, I don't get it, right? So today, we're going to pick up another one of those phrases, and he said it frequently at the end of his teachings in the Gospels. We're going to look at the key teaching, the key text that is covered in all three of the main Gospels, not in John, but in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And that is, at the end of his teaching, he would look out at the crowd and say, let him who has ears to hear, hear. Everybody in the audience had ears. What's the big deal, Jesus? Because we don't understand that phrase critically connects to the deepest core value teaching of the people of Israel in a text that is referred to as the Shema. And the Shema out of Deuteronomy 6, the word Shema, and it is actually the first word in that verse in chapter 6, verse 4. It's the first word in Hebrew, and Shema means listen. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. I want to take us to prayer. And I want to challenge us in prayer to listen. To listen. Jesus, you have something important you want to say to us today. You have something you don't want us to miss. And your word speaks it so clearly. And sometimes, Lord, we confess we read right through it. We read right over it. We don't pause. And you speak to us and say, let he who has ears to hear, hear. Listen. Pay attention. Hear what I'm saying. Be prepared to respond. Listen. listen. Jesus, may we listen today. May we not just hear words of a preacher preaching, but may we listen to your heart, listen to your word. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to have you jumping around the scriptures again today, and we're going to be, first of all, in Deuteronomy 6. I want to read that core teaching out of Deuteronomy 6. Then we're going to make our way through a couple of the words of the prophets on the same subject that then Jesus comes back to teach, the parable of the sower, which is where we're going to finish today. So that's where we're going. Deuteronomy, to the prophets, to the Gospels. Here we go. Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In Lois Verberg's book, she recounts the story of a rabbi named Eliezer Silver, who in 1945 headed up the search for thousands of displaced Jewish children all across Europe. They had been hidden from the clutches of the Nazis on farms and in convents and monasteries, and now he sought to return them to their families, if at all possible. The rabbi had a promising lead with the report that a monastery in southern France had taken in several of those Jewish children. But the priest in charge was of little help, declaring that, to his knowledge, all of these children were Christians. And Rabbi Silver could produce no records. Schwartz, Kaufman, Schneider. These family names were obviously German, but they could be either Jewish or Gentile. He scanned their small faces. Many had lived there since they were toddlers. How could he know if any of them were from Jewish families? He asked if he could visit the wards. And in front of the children, he began singing in Hebrew, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eleinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. A handful of faces lit up, and tiny voices from around the room joined in singing the Shema. They recognized these ancient words from their bedtime prayers and from the earliest memories of their mothers and fathers reciting them every morning and every evening during their own prayers. Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eleinu. Adonai Echad. Those six words, known lovingly to every Jewish home, from the time of Moses to this very day. The core words of God speaking to his people, saying, listen, I am the Lord your God. I alone am the Lord. You see, Shema encompasses the concepts of listening, comprehending, and obeying, all caught up in that one word that we translate in the English, listen. You see, the Hebrew language is an economy of words. 8,000 words compared to over 400,000 in our English language. And we think, oh, those poor Hebrews, so few words. But the reality is that every Hebrew word is packed like an overstuffed suitcase. Thus, for the rabbinic tradition that included teaching from the Torah and then followed by great debate and discussion and in-depth conversation about the powerful and broad and deep meaning behind those words. You see, God used an economy of language to encourage and incite his followers to come together in community and talk about him and talk about his promises and share them together with one another and then apply them to their lives. So in community, they are growing deeper in the faith. And we get so proud of 15 commentaries on two verses of Scripture. And not that commentaries aren't valuable, but I just wonder in our 400,000 English words how much fluff there is versus the substance of God's Word. Listen. Listen intently. Hear, O Israel. Have you ever been in a conversation with your spouse, and partway through you know he or she has checked out? You may ask the obvious question, did you hear what I just said? To which the guilty party usually replies, yes, I heard you. He had ears to hear, but in fact, he did not hear. No, I didn't accidentally use the male pronoun there. You see, he did pay attention. He heard the sound of your voice, but did not listen well enough to appropriately respond. I won't ask for a show of guilty hands, but mine is up, just so you know. You see, this is God's concern repeatedly with the nation of Israel. Repeatedly. Check out the repeated warnings of the prophets. Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10, he says this. In fact, right after Isaiah's calling to go to the nation of Israel that had gone blatantly wayward, not listening anymore to the commands of God, beginning to create their own experiences of worship, going after idols, the very gods that they had driven out a generation or two before. Now they were chasing after those foolish patterns of worship. And so Isaiah, when he steps up and says, I will go. God says to Isaiah, go and tell this people. Be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. make their ears dull and close their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. You see, this is a statement about hearing and the lack of, and it's a statement of Isaiah coming to the nation of Israel. God has judged you because you have had ears, but you have not heard. You have not listened. You've not been faithful. Jeremiah, right after Isaiah, at the devastation and the capture of Jerusalem and the carrying off of a remnant into captivity in Babylon, Jeremiah says it this way in chapter 5, beginning at verse 20. Announce this to the descendants of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah. Hear this, you foolish and senseless people who have eyes to see and have ears but do not hear. Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? I made the sand a boundary for the sea, an everlasting barrier it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it. But these people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned aside and gone away. They do not say to themselves, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives autumn and spring rains in season, who assures us of the regular weeks of harvest. Your wrongdoings have kept these away. Your sins have deprived you of good. It is God's concern for us today. We may know what God's word says, but many times we are far from obeying or following His instruction. And yet over and over again in Scripture, this is exactly what God expects. You see, in the economy of the simple word in Hebrew, Shema, listen, is built in, is packaged in an expectation to understand and to obey. It's not just hearing, like the checked out spouse. This word is packed with more than just to hear. It's having intent, having ears to perceive and respond. Which takes us now to Jesus' parable of the sower. Fascinating to me as I was studying this phrase this week to realize that in all three of those Gospels, one of Jesus' most powerful parables about the impact of the Word of God in different kinds of soil. Hear, O Israel. Listen. That at the end of this parable is where Jesus pulls out that cool little phrase. Let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's take a look at that parable. You'll find it in Mark 4 and in Luke chapter 8, but for sake of our study today, go to Matthew 13. Go to Matthew 13. We're going to begin at verse 3. This parable of the sower is an illustration to describe both the power of God's word to have impact and the importance of the soil of our hearts to receive that powerful word. Matthew chapter 13, chapter 13, beginning at verse 3. Jesus is by the Sea of Galilee. The crowds had become so enormous that this was that moment when he had his fishermen disciples pull up one of the boats, and he got in the boat and they pushed out from shore so that the natural sound carry of the water would enable everyone to hear. It says, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. And here he quotes the text that we just read in Isaiah 6. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. You have to know and understand that as Jesus is speaking and applying that statement of prophecy from Isaiah, that many in the crowd who were listening intently to his teaching were also those among the group of Pharisees who had been reading and studying and teaching the word for years. And Jesus declared them to be blind guides, meaning they were seeing but not perceiving. They were hearing but not understanding. So the word falls to us. It comes to us. And the question for us today in this teaching of Jesus from the Gospels is, what kind of soil is the Word of God planting in us? His first example is what I describe as the lost word, a hardness from the heartache in life, the hard path, the well-worn path of life that we know from our experiences with no consideration for a deeper spiritual dimension. This is the person who has no time or interest in the things of God. You've maybe experienced this in a conversation with a family member or a friend or a neighbor, and you're wanting to be a witness, and you start to speak about the life that you've experienced in Jesus, and you basically get a no thanks, not interested. I remember being an enthusiastic high school student who had just sensed that God had called me into ministry, and I was so excited about that. And I'm working that night at the pizza place that I was fulfilling a shift, and I had a buddy from school that was working with me, and I was excited because we were going to do prep, which meant it was just he and I, one-on-one, in the back room, nobody else around to listen. And I said, Lord, give me an opportunity. Let me speak your name. Let me somehow see if there's openness here. And I don't remember how the conversation went, but I remember him grousing and complaining about something that had gone wrong with his wife, with his life. We were both 16 years old at the time, 17. There was no wife involved. But I remember him kind of complaining about it, and I turned to him and I said, you know, I've discovered that when I run into things that I don't understand, that it just helps me to just ask Jesus to help me. And he threw down the knife that he was chopping chicken with, and he turned and he looked at me with a glare and he said, I don't want to hear any of your Jesus crap. Okay. And it was the last conversation I had with him. To my awareness to this day, he's still trying to navigate his way through life with no spiritual mooring whatsoever. You're going to encounter hard path. It just happens. You don't need to feel like a failure as a witness of Christ if you find seed falling on the hard path. But I want you to notice that the parable, the example Jesus gives is that the farmer is still, he's still casting the seed. So you never know where there's a hard path until you cast the seed. And if it bounces back in your face, then okay. But friends, we don't give up on the hard path. Because God has a way of breaking through hardened hearts. Only the Spirit of God can crack that nut. Right? That's the Lord's. So you don't give up on them. You keep praying for them and you just wait for the Spirit of God to move. The second soil is referred to, Jesus calls it a rocky soil. And so I preface this as the light word. A brief response, but no depth of understanding. It's a quick emotional response as maybe an expected fix to all of life's problems and challenges. This is a person who quickly responds to Christ but goes no deeper in a walk with Him. Only the Lord knows for sure who truly has received Him. Let me just say that if you've encountered folks who it seemed at one point were responding to Jesus and they were interested, and now it seems like they're not at all. This is an opportunity to just continue to be faithful in your witness. It's an opportunity to say, you know, if you ever have a concern or a question, if you'd like somebody to pray with you at some point, I'd be happy to do that. Stay around. Stay available. Again, don't give up on that person. You don't know, but what there is a time when God will plow that ground a little bit deeper. The next example Jesus gives is the limited word, a distracted life that gives the word no real priority. He refers to it as the weedy soil or the thorn and thistle soil. This is the cluttered path of many different sources of help and the confusion of a very distracted heart that chokes out true wisdom. This unfortunately can become the life of many who've surrendered to Christ but are not walking in obedience. Don't give up on a heart of faithfulness. be careful that other idols don't take the place of the Lordship of Christ. Remember the Shema that ends with Adonai Echad, which we translate in the English, the Lord is one. But I read another translation that said that's probably more accurately, the Lord alone. There is only one God. Friends, can I say that it's that third type of soil that I fear infiltrates the church today? Because we allow the distractions of life, the worries, the fears, the frets, the physical illnesses, diseases, financial difficulties, job losses. We allow those threats that come into our lives that Satan throws at us with all the acumen and ability that he has to try to go straight to the heart, because if he can shake up the heart, if he can steer you away from listening that the Lord is God, the Lord alone, then he's got you right where he wants you, distracted, not faithful, not listening to the encouraging word of the Lord. He desires to replace our fear with faithfulness and truth. If you find yourself letting too many weeds, thorns and thistles grow up in your faith, time for some good old-fashioned Holy Spirit gardening. Time to yank those things out. Time to kill those weeds. You know the thing that I've noticed? Lynn and I have always enjoyed gardening and landscaping and tinkering with that, and we love the beautiful flowers that come out. But you know what I've noticed about weeds? They never go away. Can have it just beautiful and clean and it looks so great, and you water it and you just step back and go, wow, that looks so awesome. And the next morning you go, we pulled those last night. How did they grow up overnight? God is faithful. But can I just say for you, as followers of Jesus, Satan will not give up on tossing the weed seeds back into your life. He'll keep doing that. He's a rascal. He doesn't quit. So we have to be determined, and we have to be committed to letting the Holy Spirit keep yanking out those distractions. The limited word. The last one, of course, is the loved word. It's a response to Christ, the living word. It's the fertile soil. The path of true brokenness, ready to receive the dynamic work of Jesus' death and resurrection, to plant his Spirit deep in our souls, producing an ongoing source of life-giving help. Now, here's the thing I want you to think about. God does not bring his word to us so that we have a teaching to consider and weigh. He brings his living word to us so we can understand the teacher that we're to love and obey. It's not the teachings. You can go to class, you can be in small groups, you can participate in all kinds of wonderful discussions. But if it does not draw you into diving deeper in love with Jesus, who is the one who brought the teaching, then you've missed the point. So guilty of getting all excited about a teaching and wrestling with it and looking up the words and getting all excited about that and then stepping back and going, wait. He didn't just give me that so I had something to speak on Sunday morning. He gave me that so that I would know that He loves me. So that I would never forget how much He loves me. How much He's given Himself to me. How much He's paid for my life. It's not about how much you grasp. It's about who you've discovered you can hold on to, because He never lets go of you. Shema Israel, Adonai Eliyahu, Adonai Echad. The children of Israel, faithful Jews today, literally, physically carry around with them two little scrolls of Scripture. And if you travel to Israel, you see it frequently, that some of these Orthodox Jews, especially in the old city of Jerusalem, you'll see them walking around the streets, and they'll have this leather thong around their forehead and this tiny little box on their forehead. Looks weird. Looks odd. But inside that box is the Shema. They've literally bound that word on their foreheads, because the presence of that pressure on their forehead reminds them that the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. There's a second text that most keep inside that little box. And it's Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 to 20. And I'm going to conclude by reading that text from my Jewish study Bible. Here's how it reads. So if you listen carefully to my mitzvot, my commands, which I am giving you today, to love Adonai your God and serve Him with all your heart and all your being, then, says Adonai, I will give your land its rain at the right seasons, including the early fall rains and the late spring rains, so that you may gather in your wheat, your new wine and olive oil. And I will give your fields grass for your livestock, so that the results you will eat and be satisfied. But be careful not to let yourselves be seduced, so that you turn aside, serving other gods and worshiping them. If you do, the anger of Adonai will blaze up against you. He will shut up the skies so there will be no rain. The ground will not yield its produce. You will quickly pass away from the good land Adonai is giving you. Therefore, you are to store up these words of mine in your heart, and in all your being, tie them on your hand as a sign. Put them on the front of a headband around your forehead. Teach them carefully to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you're traveling on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates, so that you and your children will live long on the land Adonai swore to your ancestors He would give them, for as long as there is a sky above the earth. God's blessing, His love, His provision is promised, coming right out of His heart. He will not quit. He will not give up on you. Jesus said it this way: I will be with you forever. Listen. Are you taking time to regularly listen to the Lord? Through His Word, in prayer. Do you build into your time of prayer some time to just sit quiet and listen for the Spirit of God to plant in your heart and mind what He wants you to know? Listen. What voices are grabbing priority in your life? Are they whispers of worry and fear, or are they promptings of faith and trust? Because they're the exact opposite. So when you sense worry and fear creeping in, those little whispers, those little nasty weeds trying to crop up, confess those to the Lord and let Him replace them with faith and trust. Maybe consider memorizing the Shema. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Those of you with children at home, maybe a family memory project. Don't be scared of doing that. The kids will learn it faster than you will. Remember the children in the orphanage in Nazi Germany. Teach it to your children. Talk about it as you walk through life together. May it be well with your soul as you surrender it to the Lord. Shema Israel. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Lord God, we desire to walk faithfully. I believe it's the heart of every person in this room, oh God. We want the soil of our heart to be that fertile, receptive, broken ground, ready to receive the seed of your word, to speak into us, to plant that richness that you desire to build and grow in us, to bear the fruit of your spirit, so that our lives continually are producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, kind faithfulness, self-control. Oh God, speak into our lives. Dispel those whispers of the enemy of fear and no trust. May anxiety and worry go packing as we focus on you. It's what you desired. Lord, it's what you gave to the children of Israel. It's what they struggled to keep hold of. There were moments, there were times of great celebration and joyful, joyful festivals. And then, Lord, you came yourself and reminded us that those promises were not just for the children of Israel, but they were for all of us to know you, to walk with you. So thank you that you invite us in and you invite us into relationship so that your word may dwell in us richly. May it do so. May we have ears to hear today. It's in your name we pray, Jesus.
May you go in the peace that passes understanding. It dwells in our hearts by faith because the Lord our God, He alone